Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me for Becoming Who I Am. This is your host, your sister, your friend, your confidant, your coach, mentor, the eternal student, Dr. Diane Rubin-Jones, or Dr. Di, as known by many. I appreciate your presence on this morning. I don't take it for granted that you've joined me. It's a glorious Sunday morning. It really is a beautiful morning. So I hope that in realizing this, that you've taken the time to just say a prayer of gratitude, just to say thank you to the Creator, to the universe, for allowing us to see such a beautiful morning. I have my tea. And, you know, so I'm sipping tea, okay? And hopefully you have your tea or your coffee or whatever it is that will help you get this day started right. I appreciate all of you who have already joined me. I see my sister friend in the queue. I got you. Hold on for me for a few moments. I see an old friend in the chat room. Good morning to you, my sister. I know some good things are happening in your life, and I appreciate you joining me. It's been a long time. And I see someone else in the chat room as well. Good morning to you as well. And thank you so much for joining me for Becoming Who I Am. And what I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and give out the number for those of you who don't already have it so you can give us a call. And obviously the chat room is open. You can call in by dialing 646-668-2585. Once again, that is 646-668-2585. If you're, you know, at the internet, you want to come into the chat room, it's open. You can join us there. You already know I'm all over the place. If you've listened to the show, you know what I'm about to say. Sweetheart, if you want to send me a tweet, it's DiJones247. You can catch up with me on Twitter. You can catch up with me on Facebook by going to my page and sending me a friend's request. That's Diane Rosina Jones. Or you can go to the Transform Your Life Institute page on Facebook as well. You can go to the website, transforminginstitute.com. That's transforminginstitute.com for the website, and that's Transforming Life Institute on Facebook. Also, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Google+. Sweetheart, I'm everywhere you want to be. That almost sounds like an American Express commercial, but not quite yet. But I'm everywhere that you want to reach out to me. So, more tea. So that's Google+, LinkedIn, Facebook, Diane Rosina Jones, Twitter, DiJones247, or Transforming Life Institute on Facebook and the web. Okay, and there are just so many things that are going on until I really don't even know where to start. But before I get into everything that I feel like I need to share on this morning, I'm going to go ahead and give you a bit of information so you can catch up with everything that's going on with Transforming Life Institute. If you're in the Atlanta area, it's really going down in Atlanta, okay? So go ahead and join the meetup. There's a meetup. It's called Transform in Life. So that's T-R-A-N. I can't spell this morning either, so I need more T. T-R-A-N-S-F-O-R-M-N-L-I-F-E, Transform in Life. And I misspelled that. So let me just sip on some more tea so I can learn how to spell. Take another look. Okay, I spelled it right. All right. So join the meetup. The meetup just recently opened. What we do is, of course, that
I also put the information about workshops and the meetups, but we wanted to do something different. So we offer a Sunday brunch. I'm open to times for the brunch. I'm open to locations. We're open to actually switching the event to maybe a weeknight at a different location, just so we can get together like-minded individuals living from the highest good. This is not necessarily a religious group. It is a spiritual group, those living from their highest good, about transforming their lives, expanding their consciousness to become the best versions of themselves while on this journey. So that's what it's about as far as connecting on meetup, transforming life. We also offer a bowl burning ceremony once a month. At my residence, it's small. It's only going to be maybe 4 to 6 people because this is a private, confidential ceremony where we want people to be comfortable to actually release those things that they really need to release. So you need to be able to speak that thing out into the atmosphere that you're letting go. And then, sweetheart, we burn it up. And then we chase it and we follow it with a little drink. We have a little bit to eat. We have a little bit to drink. We burn up some stuff we need to release, and we move on. The last one that we had, it was such a pleasure and an honor, and we actually took about 5 hours. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like that. But we both talked about it later, and we come to the conclusion that those things that we released, we actually had. That, in fact, that does not mean that you will never think of it again, but that does mean that when something comes to your mind that you know that you are done with, that you have let go, that you came to the end of a thing, okay, if you listen to the show last week, you know what I'm talking about. You really can let that go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, before I get any further, because my sister friend is on the air, I want to bring her on just for a moment while I finish the kind of intro of what's going on with Transforming Life. Then we're going to get into some conversations on today, and we're going to see which way that God would have this conversation to go. So let's bring her on. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me on the show today. And I'm
excited.
I'm grateful to have you there. I'm not sure whether you're listening on air or not, but I can hear some background noise as well. So if you're on the phone and you're on the internet, you may want to put the internet on mute.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, and I have everyone in the chat room. I see you guys are just typing away, so I will get my shout out then. sister, dear friend, I'm excited that you're finally able to, that things are going well in your life. You know, things have always been going well. What I'm doing is I'm talking to a sister friend in the chat room, so y'all just hold on, but I'm not calling out any names because we want to do it like that. We want to honor people, but we don't really want their business on the air like that unless you want to call in and talk about it. But I do want to say to my dear sister friend that is in the chat room, I'm glad that things are working out for you. I hope that you know that your journey that you've had, it was working all along. It was working something in you, through you, and for you. And I know it may have been a difficult journey. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me on this morning. I appreciate it in the chat room. So I was talking about transforming life, and let's just get sidetracked a little bit. Now, Val, how did you feel about the bowl burning ceremony?
I felt amazing after it was done. I didn't think that I would be able to completely let it go, but days later, I found myself, even if a thought came up, that I would stop it immediately and say, no, that has been released. So I think that bowl burning was an awesome tool to help us to let go of some baggage, things that were holding us back. And I feel lighter, if that makes sense, and I have a more of a free spirit connecting with one with myself. So I feel that it is a great thing.
It does make sense. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what a bowl burning ceremony is, most people do it on at the end of the year, and it's just a ceremonial ritual, if you will, symbolic of releasing things from your past, releasing negative things, negative memories, negative experiences, negative thoughts that are constant. It's just a ceremonial ritual in which you actually write down that thing on a piece of paper and you literally burn it up. So it sounds like it, you know, it's like, well, doesn't sound like that might be too, you know, beneficial, or how does that really help? But what happens is, in the process of really what we did, is we wrote down the things that Spirit brought to us. Now, of course, we all kind of knew we had topics. We got topics of stuff, baggage that we're dealing with, and we're familiar with what that baggage is. And once we began to write down that information and burn that up, eventually we started just going with what was being spoken into our spirit at the time. And the spirit said, okay, write this down. We kept writing and we kept burning it up and we kept speaking that it had released. And I agree with Val. What happens is that it's not magically gone and you never think about it again. However, you become more consciously aware of that which you're thinking. So at the moment, that thing that you have actually symbolically released comes back to your consciousness, you can say, and you can stop at that moment and say, oh, no, I'm not going to entertain that, because that I have let go. I have released. That is done. That's over. I then came to the end of that thing. Now, I want to share this. I don't want to get too sidetracked on this one occasion or event, a ceremonial event that we do each month. But I do want to say that relationship-wise, there was a type of relationship, I will say. I'm trying not to tell all my business. That you see me, Val, trying to work around it without telling it all.
Yes. Did it without giving it.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell it without telling it. There was a blockage. Thank you, Spirit, for giving me the right words. That I had in my life in regards to a certain relationship, because I was holding on to some memories, some experiences, some thoughts about a past relationship. Well, I got to burning some ish up on that day. And the very next day, hear me when I say this, the very next day, my entire situation in regards to the relationship shifted for the better. I'll leave it there. So it does work. But see, it also works when you're ready to work it.
Right.
We might have to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
When you're ready to work it. So that's one of the things we have.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
For me, Diane, I think writing it down help to pull it to our consciousness. And I think that's what helps us to remember, no, this has been released. Because we could have just said these things and said we released them, and it may have worked, but I think writing it down and letting you actually see it help to solidify it in your consciousness that this is the thing that has been released. I will not, as you said, entertain this. I'm done.
Again.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, because it was some of the things that even once I wrote it down and I read it out, I'm like, oh, my God. You know,
right.
We were literally saying that, right? And then once I read it out loud, I'm like, wow. Because some of the things we aren't even aware, and it's just like you said, we're not really consciously aware of it. It's in our subconscious mind. It's kind of in the back. But when you write that thing down and then you read it out loud, it's that the power of that moment, the power of those words from paper becoming spoken, gives validity to it and it's real. And then when you release that thing and say that you have released it and it is over and it is done, that's a powerful moment in and of itself. So I do want to encourage any of you who would like to participate in our bowl burning ceremony that's coming up this month. It is going to be April 30th on a Saturday. It will be in the evening at 4 p.m. You do need to go to the Transforming Life Meetup group and join the group to RSVP for the bowl burning ceremony. It will be a limited amount of individuals because, once again, we want everyone to feel comfortable in the space. We want it to be confidential. Anything that's mentioned during the release ceremony is never mentioned again. And we want a pleasant environment. So it is certainly there if you are interested and you're willing, you're ready, and you're available. So that's April 30th, Saturday, April 30th, 4 p.m. Go to the Transforming Life Meetup group. Join the group, RSVP for that. So now, before that happens, we got a workshop coming up next week. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I feel like I need to get it out now before we get into our conversation. We have a workshop coming up next week, next Saturday, April 23rd. Transforming Life is presenting a workshop, which will be held in person in Kennesaw at the Breath of Life Healing Center, where I have an office at. The workshop is 9 to 3, so it's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is going to be a powerful workshop. This is the third one in a series of workshops that I've done this year, and I think that each time God has me come up with a topic and a title, it actually gets better and better and better. So the workshop that's coming up this week, this next Saturday, really is going to be about walking your life out empowered by your victories and not tormented by your defeats. So it's a workshop that's going to teach you how to stop tracking your pain, because most of us track our pain. What I mean by that is we are able to recall at a moment's notice every horrible thing that has ever happened to us. We're able to remember every heartache, every disappointment. We can remember everybody that did us wrong. We remember when somebody, you know, beat us up when we was in elementary school. I'm just keeping it real. I know I can. We remember all of that stuff. So it's not about forgetting it and not being aware that it ever happened. It's about putting it in its proper place, where it's no longer emotional baggage, and the ability to not just track pain, but to track our bliss, because most of us aren't as aware of those positive things that go on in our life. Because, Valerie, think about it. If you go and ask somebody about something negative that happened to them, they can recall it. If you go and ask someone every day, what's something that's good that happened to you today, they got to stop and think about it. Most people have to stop and think really hard to say what happened to me today that was good, but they can just rattle off the negative. Do you agree with that, Val? I may have lost Valerie. She may have to call back in because I can't hear. But that has been my experience. And Valerie's in the chat room saying, I'm talking and I can hear you. I'm sorry, sweetheart. We cannot hear you. I hear nothing on the air. So I'm not sure whether I'm on mute or what the case may be. You may actually have to hang up and call back in because we can't hear anything. So that's the workshop on next Saturday. If you'd like to attend the workshop, there are a couple of ways you can do it. You can actually go to Transforming Life Institute on Facebook, click on events, find the event for next Saturday, click on that, and you'll see where the tickets are available for a small investment, you can attend the workshop. And it is a small investment. God really has me offering it at a discount at this time. The workshops normally go for $125, and the workshop is being offered for $60. That is a six-hour workshop for $60. That's $10 an hour, actually, that you are actually paying. And most of you who have attended workshops before, you know that you are not able to attend a workshop and pay $10 an hour for a six-hour workshop. So definitely go ahead and sign up for that, register for that if you're interested. It's going to be a powerful workshop. It really is. We keep those kind of small, too, because it is a workshop. What that implies is that it's not a seminar where I just do all the talking. It is an interactive experience. So we keep that small. We keep those classes small. I see we have Valerie back in the queue. Valerie, are you back?
Yes, I am here.
And I can hear you now. So great.
Okay.
So now on Facebook, sign up for the event. You can also go to Transforming Life Institute, my Square account. If you do a search, if you're familiar with Square, SquareUp.com sometimes is what it says, or Square. You can look for Transforming Life Institute. I also have a link there where you can sign up and pay for the workshop. So there are a couple of ways you can do it. Next month, TransformingLifeInstitute.com, my website, you will have the ability to sign up for all of the workshops. You'll have the ability to sign up for all of the webinars. Webinars start in June. That's going to be powerful. You'll be able to do all of that right at the website. Okay? So I think I've done enough informational stuff for now. Valerie, what I'd like for you to do, though, could you kind of share, you've attended the previous workshop. Could you share for me just a little bit about your experience with the workshop, what you got out of them? You don't actually have to tell your business, so to speak, but just tell us a little bit about the workshops and what you feel the importance of. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I attended the workshop, and I was seeking change for myself, from within myself. What the workshops did was give me valuable tools to be able to search myself, to find out maybe what things I'm holding on to, what things are stopping me from taking that next step. And I learned that fear can hold you back, and I learned that fear is something that you can accomplish. And what I mean by the tools is they're questions that are given to you for you to answer for yourself honestly, and you don't have to share it, but it gets you to think about it. Why am I so afraid, or why am I holding back? So it helps you to think for yourself from within yourself, and it also gives you courage to take the next step. That is a group, or the workshops to me was, okay, I could do this. I'm not alone. I'm not the only one trying to overcome or achieve this. I can get, so for lack of a better word, a support group to help me with that. So for me, it was a stepping stone to see what is actually holding me back from reaching the things that I want to accomplish in life.
And you know what, that's really the intention. So the intention of the workshop is to have you ask yourself the questions and get the answers that you need. Honestly, in a positive way, questions that you don't have to share with anyone else. All you have to do is write them down
right.
for yourself. And because
exactly.
we begin each workshop with questions, you know, because we want each person to be able to kind of think about, okay, how has this affected me? Because we did a workshop on intuition. We did a workshop. We talked about dancing with the universe, which really means learning to get into the flow of what God is doing in your life and not struggling against what God is doing. Because many of us, first of all, we're not in a place where we actually hear from God for ourselves. We're not quite sure that what we hear is really God, you see, is really spirit. And then we are maneuvering our lives in such a way that it's a constant struggle, it's a constant fight for us. But a lot of times the constant struggle is an indication that we may actually not be going in the flow, in the same, we're not dancing at the same speed with God. We're not in the flow with what God is doing in our lives. Not saying we're doing something wrong, because there's a difference in saying, okay, this is wrong, as opposed to what's your flow. You know, when two people dance, they actually have to be in sync. So even if I'm dancing with someone, if I'm not in sync with them, I could still be dancing with them, but we just may be stumbling all over top each other's feet. which makes the dance awkward. So at times it's not necessarily that, so we kind of broke it down, it's not necessarily that you are not, God is not with us. It may be that we're either, our pace is too fast or our pace is too slow, or God is saying go left and we go right, or you know. So it's about synchronizing our lives with what spirit, what God is saying in our lives for that moment. So we've had some powerful workshops in the past, and we have some powerful ones coming up. In May, we have a workshop coming up about creative power, activating that creative power within. In June, sweetheart, we have a workshop coming up about, it's basically stop dreaming and start manifesting. How to move from just being a dreamer to actually manifesting those dreams that you have in your life. So there are some powerful things that are really going to be happening, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be it's going to be helpful, and it's going to inspire, encourage, and take your life to the next level. So I hope many of you will go ahead and invest in that, because really we invest in a lot of things, but many of us don't invest in ourselves. This is an investment in you. Definitely.
I agree for sure. And Diane, I just wanted to say, you talked about tapping into ourselves. That is one thing that also I learned how to do with the help of the workshop, because I knew God spoke to me, but I wasn't hearing his voice like I used to, and I didn't know how to get that back. So that's one thing that the workshops also brought out to help me, just to stop and listen and have confidence that I do hear God's voice. And how to distinguish it.
And in distinguishing it, it taught.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. You said in distinguishing it.
In distinguishing it, it was like, if it's coming from a place of love, then it comes from God. If it's coming from a place of possibly ego or just being in denial, now I can understand the difference between them. And that helps me to stop and say, okay, I really know this is God's voice, because I can see that it is coming from a place of love. And those were the steps that I needed to get back on the right track.
And isn't that, you know, now that we look at it like hindsight or whatever, you know, people turn to isn't it so clear and it's so easy to know when it's God? Because, you know, for those who do ascribe to the belief of there being an adversary, so to speak, if it's love, then you already know what it is. You already know who it is. There's no question. All that stems from love is of God. All that stems from love is of God. And so then that's an easy way to tell right there. Is it love? Is it from love? And And other questions that we can ask, and I don't know why we're going back, but maybe somebody needs this. Other questions that we can ask is this. What is the motive behind what I'm about to do or say?
Yeah.
See? Because a lot of us, we aren't, and this takes really tapping into your intuition and really getting into a place where you can actually hear from God for yourself and then act on what you hear requires two things. Not only do you have to become consciously aware of whether it's based upon love or ego, but you have to be honest with yourself about what your motive is. Your motive tells you whether it's ego or not. Because if the motive
right.
is to get recognition, so to speak, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with recognition. I'm just saying we're using this to distinguish between who's speaking. If the motive is to get recognition, appreciation, or kudos or compliments, and you're upset if you don't get them, then you know that was ego. And once again, I'm not saying that's a negative thing. I'm saying that's recognition. That's how you can tell who it is. If your motive is to do it just because it is love and it is of God and it will bless someone else, then you know that spirit. If you don't
right.
have to
and
have
there.
Any recognition, if nobody will ever have to recognize you, then that's the way that you know. What were you saying, Val?
It helps a person to understand themselves better. Like when you were saying, not that it's a bad thing. It is not a bad thing, but it helps you to see, okay, am I operating because of my ego is leading me, or am I operating because love is leading me, which would lead to God is leading you or you're leading yourself. And that's where the dance
mm-hmm.
comes in, and that's where you may be going left when God is saying go right. So you want to stop and say, am I working because my ego wants me to have this, or am I working because this is what God wants me to have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. And so those are powerful questions in and of itself. And so then we know, and once again, we're saying that ego is not a – I used to ascribe to the belief that ego was purely negative and that we were somehow supposed to be able to squash our ego and all of that. But, sweetheart, as long as we are in this journey and this in this body – we can't squash ego. There's no way to be in spirit 24/7, 365, unless you are a monk or a nun or something in a convent, and all you're doing is some meditation all day long. And then if somebody else is meditating with you, then there's a possibility of conflict. You see, so if we two meditate together, ultimately somebody going to breathe or sneeze or, you know, something. There's going to be some interaction. And where there is interaction, there's a possibility of a conflict. So it's not possible to be in spirit 24/7, 365. And ego is healthy in the fact that it helps us to protect ourselves when we should protect ourselves. So there are times when fear actually is natural and normal and should occur. When you're in a space where you may be harmed, you should feel fear. If fear is not activated within you at that moment, then there's something wrong. So at some point, your ego should be protecting you. The problem is, here's the problem. When ego becomes such a defender until it defends you against your own life. Okay, this is taking it to a whole
right.
nother level. Here's something.
Yes.
Some of us have gotten to the point where we are so fear-based, okay, that our fear has become unequal or has become larger than its place in our lives. And so then we are defending ourselves to the point where we're defending ourselves against life. I'm just going to break it down. You can't do anything. You aren't able to accomplish your dreams, your goals. You aren't able to maintain your relationships, your positions, your job. And really, it all stems back from fear, because I believe there's only two emotions, that's love and fear. And I think that Marianne Williamson taught me that, and I may have learned that from the book of Return to Love, but I read so many books, I don't know which one I learned it from. But I did learn, and I agree, there's only two emotions, love and fear. We operate out of one or the other at all times. Everything that stems from fear, anger, all of those other negative emotions, if you could backtrack that emotion and get to the root of it, the root of it is fear. So when our ego gets out of balance and we operate at a high level of fear, then our defenses come up in every scenario. Defenses come up in relationships, in the workplace, in, you see, and it's just out of proportion. It's just out of control.
And you can tie that back into, are we tracking our pain with that? Because usually fear is something that hurt you or something that stopped you from doing what you want. So you can you hold on to that and you recall it instantly at the drop of a dime. So going back to, are you holding on to the pain? And even we can say the fear, because it's tying back into stopping you from living your life to the full highest potential.
Yeah. And that is most of the time, that's what stops us. And I will say, you know, and once again, some fear is natural. It is only, it's natural that we should be afraid if we see a bear. You know, I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
Some fear is healthy, I should say. But when it gets out of control, it does stop you from it halts everything. It halts growth in your life, expansion. It halts transformation. It stops you from living your life in such a way that you can go out and obtain your goals and your hopes and your dreams. And it really does have to do with past experiences. So it is us tracking our pain. So relationship-wise, I could use as an example, get into a relationship, love, get your heart broke. Right? So now we become afraid to love. And as a result of that fear, because of the experience, we keep track of that. So when we meet someone else, especially if they do something or say something that reminds us of the past relationship, oh, Lord, fear kicks in and the defense wall, ego brings up the defenses. And that's it. And a lot of times what happens is we're not even aware of it. We may think that we have moved on, that we have let go of that baggage, that we okay, and we get into a relationship and somebody say something and do something and the defense walls come up. Some of us immediately become defensive, and others just actually sabotage the relationship and don't realize that they're even doing it. You see, subconsciously, we begin to do things and say things within the relationship to tear it apart. And really that fear, but it's so subconscious until we don't even realize that we're sabotaging ourselves. But that's our ego trying to protect us. I'm going to tell you something. Until I realized and could distinguish between spirit and ego in my ego was wreaking havoc in my life. I'm just going to tell truth.
Right.
I was like, uh-uh. I try as little as possible. I have my moments because, like I said, all of us, we don't walk in a spirit 24/7. There's sometimes when I call it an alter ego, Diana. a lot of my friends that know me a long time, they know if I say Diane, okay. If I say Diana, that's ego. And that's alter ego. And she is a straight up mess. Sometimes we know we walk in the ego and we're wrong as we can be and we do it anyway. You know, we're still consciously aware. I am consciously aware that I'm getting ready to get my way.
And at that moment, I don't care because alter ego is ruling.
Right. Exactly. So at least at the very least, be consciously aware of what you're doing. I mean, let's just be true. Sometimes being aware does not mean that you do everything right every day. It just means that when you wrong, you know you're wrong.
Right.
You're going to be wrong
right. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So keep on doing it. I know I'm not supposed to. I don't care at this moment. I'm doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do it. So, and hopefully as we begin to walk in more love each and every day, we have less moments where we just going to do it. I'm just going to do it my way. And really that is about sabotaging, in a way, you know, our hopes, our dreams, and our relationships. Especially when we go against what we know to be right, then we are sabotaging that. Yes, we are. Look, I'm going to sip on a little bit more tea. Now, I was thinking about, oh, my God, everything that had happened this week. I want to shift this a little bit as far as fear. And since we're talking about intuition, we're talking about fear, and we're really talking about tracking pain and all of that, I want to shift to the physical because a lot of times with me, I will say, I'm going to speak from my experience, not for everyone. I am finding that a lot of the things that I experience physically in my body have some tie and some connection to the choices and decisions that I'm making in my everyday life, meaning that with my recent diagnosis, one of them is fibromyalgia. Stress actually intensifies flares for me, where I'll have flares. And I'll have moments where I'm in continuous pain. But really, when I first had that experience, I didn't kind of understand it. But as I began to understand it more, I understood that I have less pain when I'm living from my truth. You see?
Yeah.
I have more pain when I'm not living my truth. When something is out of alignment. When I'm not, maybe I'm not speaking my own truth, maybe I'm not being true to myself, maybe I'm not being authentic in that moment, whatever the case may be, that it has some impact on physically how I feel in my body, that it has become such a tie until it manifests physically in my body. And I know it, I was able to identify last week because I had a fibromyalgia flare for 3 days. I was just in constant pain. I actually could go back to the moment when I actually did something that triggered the flare.
Wow.
I'm being for real.
I figured
out what it was that I did on Sunday that set that in motion. So not only do we have to look at being consciously aware of how we tap into our intuition, whether we choose to walk in love and fear, we also have to be consciously aware of when we have different interactions within our body, in our physical body, how does that tie into who I'm being in this moment? How does it tie into whether I'm being true to myself, whether I'm being authentic in this very moment? Because I'm learning valuable lessons. Oh, I know. I can go right back to it. I was like, girl, I can go right back to it. For me, a personal thing is that I think that for me personally, because I know everybody's case is different, that sugar is one of my triggers. And I've read some, not research because it's not official, some unofficial articles that relate sugar. Because it has to do with inflammation and then your nervous system and all this other kind of stuff. That's one of my triggers. Well, a sister had like 2 sodas, you know, 4 pieces of candy, French toast, all this other kind of stuff Sunday. You know, I consume this stuff physically in my body knowing that I should not have, and I did it anyway,
okay.
Which created a flare. So So, yeah, when we are becoming consciously aware and listening to our intuition, sometimes ego can even cause us to do some things that affect us physically. And we already know the cause of it. You know, we already know the cause.
Mm-hmm. That triggered a moment for me when you said that. Years ago, it was like I had pain in my neck and I couldn't figure out what's going on. Make a long story short, I wound up having 3 herniated discs in my neck. I had not been in a car accident. I did not have any tragic event, but my whole body reads in pain every day. Mm. And then I finally had the surgery, and just now, Spirit gave me what triggered that, and I certainly was not living in my true self. It was at a time where I was struggling profusely, and I had the kids, and I've been married for probably 10 years at that time, and I just did not know what was going on, but it was a time when I was at, I'll say, my lowest point, and I didn't know how to get out of it. So I held it in, and it took on its effect on my body. And it just gave me this information right now. I just got it connected as to why my neck is now fused. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I received that, and I understand it a great deal better. See, that's amazing how I have been working with you and learning the principles and learning what to look for, learning how to hear from God, and that I do know now, and I can attest and agree to that it does cause physical pain. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I read, it's powerful, isn't it? Because I read a book by Louise Hayes years ago, and I think it's called You Can Heal Your Body or something to that effect. At the moment when I read it, I wasn't quite there because she basically, her premise was that every physical ailment has a basis. So it was metaphysical because you were saying all physical ailments have a tie to something in our consciousness or subconscious or something of that magnitude. I wasn't quite with her. I couldn't quite agree on all of that, you know? I was not sure. But I remember right before I had, I got my recent diagnosis, and I'm getting ready to tell something I don't think I've ever told, but, or at least not on the air, or I don't know how many. I might have told a couple of people. I had swelling in my neck, like the glands in my neck would swell up just like on a moment's notice to the point where other people could see them, and then it would go down, and then it would swell up. And the last weekend that it swelled up so bad, my sister friend was here at the house with me, and she saw it. I was fearful because both sides of my neck swelled up at the same time, and I thought it was closed, and I would not be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the doctor. They did all these tests. They never could find out why my glands and my neck would swell up. However, it led to other diagnoses. But they still couldn't determine why that happened because the other diagnosis, that wasn't a symptom of it. However, I went to a Reiki training class, a level one training class, and the practitioner at that time, she performed the Reiki healing on me, and she got to that area, and she said, you're experiencing all this problem in your neck and your throat area because you're not speaking your truth.
Wow.
You're holding it in. And that was correct because I had just gone through a very traumatic experience for me for at least about 90 days where I had not really spoken my truth. I really held everything that I felt and I thought. I didn't say what it is that I needed to say. And I was holding it. I was holding it in my body. And it physically was manifesting. And actually, that's when I had my first flare of fibromyalgia. True today, I had my first flare. I went to the rheumatologist, and she set me down. I'd never heard of fibromyalgia. And she said, this is what you have. I said, never heard of that. I said, how do you get that? Look, you know, how do you get it, right? She says, well, most people, here she goes. She said, well, most people, the first time they have a flare, it occurs from a traumatic experience. I said, oh, that don't apply to me. See, he goes right in there and lied. Ego just jumped right up and lied, okay? I said, oh, I haven't had a traumatic experience. So I was like, I don't know how, you know, why I would be having this flare now. So, you know, they ran more tests and they came back with some other diagnosis too. But for that, I was in straight up denial. And then a few months later, Spirit was like, psh, 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 you know, because God will speak to us where we're at. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God talks to me in a way, I'm like, But he gets my attention, and I say he for sake of reference, but we know God is neither male or female. He gets my attention. So one day, my truth came and said, you told the doctor you didn't have a traumatic experience, but you know you lied. And so what had happened for me, and I keep saying for me because there are other people that have fibromyalgia, and I'm not saying that everybody has theirs from a traumatic experience and all that. They have flares based upon that. But Spirit said, here's what happened. Your heart was broken. You held it all in. You didn't say what you needed to say. You didn't respond in the way that you needed to respond, because now some anger is healthy in itself, not violence. So we're not talking about, you see what I'm saying, not rage. But there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's how you process the anger and respond in regards to the feeling, right? I was gracious in my heartbreak. I can't think of another term. I was gracious. Oh, I was gracious, girl. Girl, I should have gotten an award. Oh, my God, I should have gotten an Academy Award because I was hurt. But I was so gracious, you know. And Spirit said, you held all that in, and your body started responding with physical pain.
Mm-hmm. Because it had nowhere else to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And I said, yeah, that's my truth. That is my truth. And once I spoke that truth, because at one point I was in constant pain for a number of days, weeks, I would say probably even a few months. And then I finally got it under control with medication, because I'm not lying. I had taken pills. I had to take some pain pills and some other pills. But now I am learning now that my triggers, my flares are tied to who I'm being in that moment. They're tied to my truth. They're tied to my stress level. They're tied to, you see, they're tied to all of that. Because even if it's in eating, that's still tied to my truth. That's still tied to my stress level. That's still tied to who I'm being in that moment.
So just think, if others can look at their situation and say, maybe this is because I'm holding on to this pain, bad breakup, this marriage that I had for 20 years, and now that I'm wrecking with pain or sorrow, and is it because I'm holding on to it? How do I let it go? And these are some of the things that Diane has helped me to be able to work on and to know, yes, this is where it comes from. Here's how you can let it go. And when I say help me, she does not give the answers because of, you know, not counselors, but gives me the question to ask myself. Because when you're in a situation, it can be hard to step outside the box. and really ask yourself the appropriate questions to get to the bottom of it. So this is where I say Diane has been a great big help for me.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I promise you, look, I didn't bring her on to do a testimonial, but I do appreciate that,
no,
Valerie.
No, she didn't.
But this is,
it just came
this
out.
Is really what...
Spirit says speak.
Right. This is really what we're going to talk about next week, too, because I realize now that I need to add a component next week about the physical, the impact
mm-hmm.
of your physical
yeah.
Tied
yeah.
to the metaphysical. Because, and see... I'm not that person. Most people know that I'm transparent and I'm going to speak my truth. So I am not saying that we're going to have a workshop that's going to remove all your pain. I can't even say that for myself. I did have a flare last week, but guess what? I am consciously aware enough to know what triggered it and how I need to adjust going forward in order to prevent it. Now, I am not in the constant amount of pain that I was in around October, November, December timeframe. Around November, I was in so much pain until one time I sat down. We were in the French Quarter in New Orleans for Thanksgiving weekend. I sat down for about 30 minutes. I couldn't get back up. I literally could not stand up. So there has been a great reduction in the pain that I was carrying or am carrying in my body. I cannot say that I'm 100% pain-free now. I don't mean like at this moment. I mean in general, because I still have my moments of flares. But now I recognize the connection between the physical and the emotional,
right.
the physical and the spiritual, the physical, you see? So for me, the workshop next week is not about will we remove all of your pain, will it remove all of your baggage, will you no longer be hurt or sad or upset. No, that's not what's going to happen, boo. No, we're not selling false dreams and false hope. What I am saying is it will help you to become more consciously aware of the pain that you're carrying, why you're carrying it, and how to let it go. And if it resurfaces, you'll become more aware of how to identify what caused it and to let that go. And as something mm-hmm. else occurs, if there's pain in the mind, in the spirit, or in the body, you'll be able to become more consciously aware of tracking where it came from and to let that go. And does that mean that all of us who have medically diagnosed conditions will be able to just go to the doctor next week and say, I'm not taking another pill? No, I ain't saying that either. Don't be foolish. I still got my medication. No, we're not being foolish. But, you know, some people will get to the letter, to the place where they are medication free. Some people can get there. Okay. I am not selling, okay, this is what everybody's going to walk away with next week. It may put you on the path there. That is my intention for my own life. I will tell you that is my goal. My goal mm-hmm. is to be pain-free, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, however you want to put it. My goal is to be medication-free because up until last year, I basically was. Now, Spirit said that ain't true because I was doing Tylenol PM in a glass of wine. Let me retract that statement. But it puts us on the path. And see, I hope that what you've gotten today from what we've shared is that all things are connected. That's one thing I want us to get. All things are connected in our lives. Our physical is connected to our spiritual. It's connected to our emotional. It's connected to our psychological, our mental state, our ego, and how we respond to things in life or don't respond, because now we understand that lack of a response is just as damaging as the wrong response. So many of us who have been silent in our own lives, We don't speak up for ourselves. We don't stand up for ourselves. We don't speak our truth. We don't live our truth. That in its way can be just as damaging as the rest. So in this transformation, this change, this expansion of consciousness, we're in no way advocates of you become so good-natured, so loving, so kind, so holy, so righteous that you have no voice. You see that you got no voice, have no decision that you make in your life. You leave everything up to the divine. Some of the things the divine has left up to you. You must speak your truth in love. That's what I say. I never forget, I had an occasion to go to brunch with someone. I say, and I still say, and if he's listening to the show, he's going to hear me say, and he's going to know it's him, but I'm not going to give his name. He held me hostage for 5 hours because he picked me up. I didn't drive. And he just poured out his heart to me. That's what he needed to do. And at that moment, the only thing I told him is what you need to do from this point is you need to speak your truth in love. See, we all want to keep it real. You can keep it real, but it's a certain way you need to keep it real. If what you're about to say can't be said in love, then wait until it can. So it's not about not speaking your truth, not keeping it real, but speak it in love. Because if our intention is pure, if our heart is right, so to speak, not righteous, but right. If my intent is to do this in love, even if it doesn't come out the right way, even if I don't quite get it right, then God, then the universe honors our intention. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Valerie, did you want to, before we kind of wrap this up, any last thoughts, words, comments? Anything spirit just bring to your mind and heart?
Well, not at this time. The only thing that I would just piggyback on is I did become more consciously aware of what my intent was. And I could see amazing results at being more conscious of that, of how I treat individuals, you know, in my home as well as outside of the home. So that is a very powerful tool, a powerful statement, and it's something that I work to apply more consciously on a daily basis. And I am seeing some very positive results because of it. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I was in a bad place just in December of 2015, and the things that I have learned, I have a positive outlook. Now, I've always been where I see my cup as half full, but it was getting drowning and it was turning to, well, the cup is empty. So the things that I have learned within the past couple of months has helped me tremendously, and I can say positively that it does work because I have tried it for myself. So I could just say you should just try it, you know, try thinking about one positive thing a day. That could be a start for you.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that's my thing. That's my motto. That's transforming life motto, is to transform lives one thought at a time. So, my whole thing is, look, I'm typing to the sister friend in the chat room. I can't type and talk at the same time. My whole thing is that we don't actually have to change everything right at this moment to become the perfect us. Okay, the journey is about, some people say it's about unbecoming, and I love that too, because really the idea of becoming who I am is ING, is becoming who I am is really about you becoming who you were already created to be. Some people say it in the reverse is about unbecoming all the things that society taught us to be so we can be that which we were created to be. That is a continuous journey. So it's not about waking up one day and you do everything right, you say everything right, you know everything that is right, you are perfect. It's about each and every day just becoming a little bit more aware and shifting. And we can shift with just one positive new thought, one new idea. If we introduce one new thought and idea into our own lives and into the people around us, just leave them with that and go on about your business. Don't try and do a sermon, do the seminar, do a workshop on them. Don't try and do 3 hours of counseling and therapy. You see what I'm saying? Introduce them. you're gonna change them today. Introduce one new idea, one thought into someone's life to help shift them, and then leave them with that thought. Don't even ask them to define it. You ain't got to define it. You ain't got to explain it. Do that with, we do that with ourselves to help shift us, and then we can do that with others to help shift them, and then go about your business. So one new thought. You can transform your life with one new thought a day, one thought at a time. You can transform the lives of others around you. This is a secret, with one thought at a time, with them not even knowing. I guess the secret is out now. But if you tell them, then it's not going to work. Now, if you go and tell them, look, I got to get off the air. If you go and tell them, I'm getting ready to shift your life. Let me give you this thought. No, you just blew it.
Right.
But wait for spirit to give you the occasion with whomever you're speaking to introduce a new thought based upon the conversation you're having. So you're not going to go into someone's life and you're talking about basketball and then you go to talk to them about their weight. No. Uh-uh. You see, and that's what we do. That's how we do it. You know, that's not how you do it. You wait until spirit gives you an opportunity and you're talking about the subject at hand, where they need to shift, and then God will tell you what to say, the one thought that will shift them. You say that, leave it, and allow spirit. What does the Bible say? Some plant, you see, some water, and God gives the increase. So you may plant a thought, let somebody else water it, and God give the increase. I thank you because Spirit just said that to me about someone this week. I planted a thought. I didn't think that they heard me. Somebody else watered it, and I got mad when they told me somebody else watered it. Because I was like, oh, you're going to listen to him. You ain't going to listen to me. Oh, so Joel got to tell you. See, that's going to be our running joke for the next 25 years. Oh, so Joel Osteen can tell you what I just told you yesterday. But anyway, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. So if you are fortunate enough to plant in someone else's lives, go ahead and plant it and leave it. Someone else will water it, and God will give the increase. If God has sent you and someone has already had an idea or a thought that will change their lives, plant it, then know that maybe God has sent you to water it, but he alone gives the increase. And I'm going to leave you guys with that. I hope I'll see you next week at the workshop. If not, we'll be right back on the air. You can catch us on the air next Sunday, 8:30. And all I have to say is, Valerie, I don't think I have anything else I can say.
I think it was amazing, and I think it's fine right where it is. That was awesome.
And my sister, my dear sister that in the chat room, I hope to see you in May at one of the workshops. I send you much love and blessings and peace and prosperity and all those good things because you have been, this was in the chat room. I want to say your name, Carla. I want to thank you because as long as I've been on the air, you have been supporting this show. And this is what I want to say to you because Spirit has told me to say this. If you are available on May 14th, which is a Saturday, please be my guest at the workshop. You can attend the workshop for free, okay? So reach out to me if you're available Saturday, May 14th, for the workshop that's going to go down in May. It's going to be Activating the Creative Power Within, and you can get there. I can't provide translation, but you have a free ticket to that workshop in May, because since 2011, my sister, you have been supporting becoming who I am. And in this time, I'm going to support you by allowing you or offering you this free opportunity if you so desire. Okay? So, all right. I'm out of here. Love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us for Becoming Who I Am. Have a wonderful day.
You
bye,
too,
Valerie.
You guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.